Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We're not going to be silenced. Not now, not ever. I want to welcome you to today's show. Got a lot of this is going to be an information-packed show. I suspect you've heard about the Rockefeller Foundation document from 2010. If not, you can easily access it by going to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. There you'll find a document containing four different scenarios. And pay special attention to the lockstep scenario. Remember, this is 10 years ago. It's the Rockefeller Foundation from 2010. The reason I bring this up right now, Americans are really, we're getting sick and tired of being lied to. We are getting lied to every single day, whether it's the media, whether it's the government, whether it is, it's out of control. And Americans are getting sick and tired, I believe, of the lies, because we're adults, we can handle the truth. And more importantly, if there's a problem, we can work through the solutions. In the situation of a pandemic, plandemic, virus, whatever you would like to call it, Communist Chinese Party virus, and someone took issue with me in the comment section, saying that, you know, it came from the United States. It's not mutually exclusive. $3.7 million went into the Wuhan lab from this country, the World Health Organization. It's global, of course, but U.S. funding the World Health Organization is the number one funder. Number two on the list, of course, is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, followed by the United Kingdom. The components, you can look at University of North Carolina. You could look as an example. You can look at, Canada as an example. You could look at Harvard, for example, Lieber and two others as an example. I don't think that there's any one specific area, one specific location that from start to finish created this, tweaked this to the extent that we're seeing this playing out. And even at that level, even if the numbers were hyped, I think everyone can agree with that. The response was over the top and remains over the top. And lastly, this country will never be the same. Again, I'm telling you, we will be forever changed, but not for the right reasons unless we step in and step in soon and handle things that need to be handled. Take our country and our Constitution back. But the reason I pointed to the Rockefeller Foundation document, as I said, you may have already seen it, read it, is I was reading it, and at the very moment, I'm not making this up, at the very moment I was reading this document, I received an email from Michael Terrell from Whole Tones. He's the frequency expert, in my view. And he's got a great product, by the way, WholeTones.com. But he sent me this document and said, take a look at this. And I wrote him back. I said, I'm reading it right now. So great minds think alike, or at least him and I do. He's got the great mind. And so I asked him to come on for a number of reasons today. Solutions. Not problems, but solutions. an analysis of what we're going through and solutions. With me is Michael Terrell.
We bring him on.
Oh, yes.
Happy birthday, Doug.
You didn't have to say that, but thank you very much. Thanks.
Spring chicken.
That's right. That's right. I'm growing younger every day. Well, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. All right. Let's bring him on. You're going to pay for that. You know that, right? Sir, how you doing?
I guess I should say happy casual quarantine Wednesday today. Obviously, the hat. Now all the listeners are going to go, oh, my God, he cut his hair. It's still there. It's just I'm the cat in the hat today.
Well, see, I took the Flowbee in a vacuum. Remember the Flowbees? Remember?
I can't believe you're saying this. I literally just got a Facebook meme this morning from a friend of mine that actually bought one and is using it because he can't obviously get a haircut. But can I say this? And besides, happy birthday, my brother, which is awesome. You know, so many great people were born this month, including my wife, and a lot of other my friends are having birthdays, right? And I'm thinking, wow, what an environment to celebrate your birthday, right? But I got to tell you this, from one, you know, guy that still has a full head of hair, your haircut looks really good. A lot of people are going to tell you that.
Well, thanks. You know, actually, it wasn't a Flowbee. It was Dog Shears and Eric the Tech, my son-in-law, too. And, a bit of trivia, I'm serious about that. And a bit of trivia, yesterday was my wife's birthday. So it's kind of neat having, two birthdays, and your wife's birthday was this month as well. So, wow.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me. Yeah. You know, it's so funny too, because she always teases me because my birthday's in January, right? And so she always says, you married a younger woman for about 3 months. You know?
Well, yeah, I tease my wife. She married she's older than I am. So, you know, but not really. Okay.
Man, it's good to see you. It was so funny. You know, it's funny and it's also kind of exciting to see. I mean, in the midst of this like unprecedented, it's not a pebble in the shoe and it's not just a momentary inconvenience. It's a global attempt to unseat the nations and to try to pull off something they've been trying to pull off for a long time, which by the way will fail. But with all of that being said, it's so cool to see. Of course, I love your normal background. I mean, not on your set. It's great, but it's so cool to see people like I always say, I'm in my office. You're in your office. Yep. I don't know how to explain this, but we've been reduced to the lowest. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The calculation is, this is us. This is America. There isn't any, we're not propped. My God, I've got my rally beard going, and it's going to be on until, we get set free from this fiasco. But I guess my point is that up until this separation, we're too busy. We're too busy for each other. I mean, and you know the drill, right? It's like, usually it's busy, busy, busy. And then you text somebody and pour your guts out. And what do you get? You get the letter K back. And maybe if they're really excited, they capitalize it. It's like, I just three paragraphs and you sent me K. And now, my dear friend, birthday boy, people from all around the world are coming on live on Facebook and Zoom, and they're bringing people. I'm going to try not to be emotional today, but this is emotional in a good way. We're bringing people into our homes virtually. We can't do it. I mean, my God, the draconian measures of some of these states. In Idaho, a woman was playing with her kids in a park, and they took her to jail just yesterday. We're seeing stuff an epidemic proportion as far as draconian measures of not going after all of the hardened criminals that they've released into society, but going after the common folk like you and me that are just trying to get through this, you know, with some sanity, and arresting them, giving them citations, just shocking stuff. But my point is, the American people cannot be beaten. They cannot be controlled. They will not be controlled. And what I really love is seeing how people are, even at this time, broadcasting from their homes. People that have never been on any kind of social media, filming or broadcasting, Facebook Live, whatever. And they're basically just saying, look, we're not trying to monetize this. We're not trying to gain a million friends. We just want to talk to somebody and we want to share our hearts. I've been doing a Sunday night, I call it Sunday Night Live with Michael, in the house every Sunday night at 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time. And, man, it's been the best time. I actually sing them songs. People that don't know I sing, I sing them songs, speak from the heart like we're doing today. And it's encouraging me, Doug, to see the resilience of the American people in the worst of times.
It is encouraging, and I love the fact that people are. I love the fact that people are awakening to what's going on. I also like this, and I want to. This is a true story. I was actually having a conversation with a detective sergeant from our local police station yesterday. And anyway, I won't disclose the content of the conversation, sure. But I did say this. I said, you know, I got to tell you what you need to be playing in your office. And it was based on what he was telling me, what was going on. I said, I'm going to bring you down what I call a hockey puck. And that's the, I said, you got to listen to whole tones. You got to play whole tones for your guys. You know, they won't even know what hit them. So anyway, he said, you know, I'm going to look into that, but, I'm going to take care of them myself. But anyway, the stress and the anxiety that seems to be building up is offset by certain things, including this closeness that's developing, like you mentioned. And it's good that you've got, by the way, I'm thankful that you've got a weekly broadcast that people can listen to you, and that's really neat. Where can people find that broadcast?
It's on the whole Tones Facebook page every 8 p.m. You just go on there and then you'll see, like, I'm going live at 8 o'clock EDT every Sunday night. And like I said, it's so fun because, you know, like, just like you, like, we get to see you now in your office. Yep. Right. But how cool when we get to see you in your house. And what's the only better thing is if I get on a plane and I come to Pennsylvania and come and visit with you and your wife and your dog. That's the best.
That's right.
But, I mean, we get in trouble if we leave the house. So if the best we could do is bring people virtually into our house. And the best part about it, too, is that they don't really censor it. Not yet. And so I get to say whatever I want to say in the privacy of my home. And I get to talk about subjects that really frustrate people, like God. Exactly. I even might quote a scripture or two, right? I mean, the audacity of that. So overall, dear friend, I got to say that, you know, after our last broadcast, I got so many wonderful responses from your amazing listeners, and a couple really bad ones.
Really?
but the bad ones made me laugh, you know, and my thing about negative stuff is, if you can redeem it in a paragraph, go for it. If not, you know, you know, crazy is as crazy does. So you can't fix crazy. But I was shocked that once I responded to the couple of naysayers out of the couple hundred of just lovely, beautiful people, it was amazing how quickly they apologize and realize that what you said was probably true. And you want to know what happens? People emote during times of great stress. And so if they see a guy that's a little different, you know, the guy actually accused me of having fried eggs for brains. And I assured him that on my recent CAT scan that the brain was completely normal and rather large. And but my point was, this guy was like jumping all over me for whatever and said I was a kook and a crackpot. And then I reached out to the guy and he sent me like a page of why he emoted, that it really had nothing to do with me. So I guess that what I'm saying is, that's the other side of where we're at right now. We have to give people a lot of latitude right now.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. I think we got to cut some people some slack. Especially, you know, I think with age, hopefully comes wisdom and some patience. Wisdom at least. And, you know, I've been finding where, man, there have been some knee-jerk reactions, and I prefer to respond as opposed to react. So when I see an email like that,
yep.
You know, okay, that's a reaction, not a response to something that you might have said or I might have said. Some interesting. But yes, I think we need to cut people some slack.
Well, and people are being misinterpreted, and rightly so. And so again, you know, usually, you know, we do a good job of spelling out everything that's wrong, that's going on right now. And there is certainly nothing wrong with that. And I want to trumpet what you said earlier. It's like my wife and I are actually elated to see people waking up. I mean, as you watch that video, which no longer exists anymore because it was taken down, you go backwards and you realize that some of us, I mean, I just turned the big 6-0, and you look back in history and you think, oh my God, if there was one guy I trusted in my life, it was Walter Cronkite. Yeah. You know? Yeah. and then you find out what the guy was really about and what he's been doing, you know, before he died, and this whole thing has been going. We've been being lied to for our entire lives. My whole life I've been lied to, and that's a bitter pill. So after you realize what's really going on, you look at the statistics. I saw today's stuff. I see a lot of the stuff you do, which is, I don't know how I get it. I know how you get it, but I don't know how I get it. But I think it's just because there's an army of people that send me stuff in the morning. I think, I don't know if I'm happy about that or sad. I hear the worst news first thing in the morning and the best news about Whole Tones every morning, but I started getting all this stuff with actual statistics and the antibody research, and it was actually very shocking. And it was actually really, really good for everybody to wake up and realize that all of this is about an election year. You want to make it specific. They're going to vaccinate us. They're going to do this. They're going to put us in the, we're going to the gulag. No, we're not. No, we're not. As long as we have a constitutional protecting president in the White House, and as long as he is able to continue to replace judges with constitutional judges, no, they won't. But the bigger issue is when you break down the left-leaning states versus the right-leaning states, and you look at all of the empirical evidence from measurement of antibody tests. Thus far, it's relatively new, but so far you see an unbelievable skew over the red states versus the blue states as how many were affected and how many deaths. In the red states, double the amount of deaths were reported for virtually almost the same demographic of measured people. I find that fascinating. I find it fascinating because it basically says, and it should to all of our listeners say, it basically says to you, you're stupid, right? And you're a sheep and you need a shepherd. And it's not God, it's us. And just stop thinking, just nod your head up and down with us and just do what we tell you to do. And I think that in the end, that's not going to bode well. The American people are not those people. We're still the people. I mean, just a couple of days ago, you know, everybody's thinking about the Boston Tea Party, right? And Paul Revere and the Midnight Ride. And I'm thinking, yeah, even at the crux, even though we've become a little wimpy as a culture, we really have. overall, there's still Paul Revere's out there. And there's still that call to action when it comes to protecting our rights and our Constitution. And I'm glad to be a part of that. And again, with that being said, as you know and have known for some time, my whole purpose being on this planet is to come up with solutions for most of the big tickers, like not sleeping, not having any peace, stress and anxiety, having a stressful pet with anxiety, or flagging energy at 3 o'clock every afternoon after age of 40. You know, that's kind of my bandwidth. It's like I tried to do I hate to use the term, but everyone's using it, the prophylactic type of approach for all of these events. If I could do something first that helps offset all of the downside of, a flagging energy, immune system, not being able to sleep, having stressed out dogs and cats, if I can move that marker, then literally I'm changing the world one person at a time. I haven't had the big inroad to the White House. I don't know people that can push the big buttons per se, but I certainly know how to reach out to my friends on this planet and make a quantum difference in their life and optimize it in their space, especially during a time like this, Doug, when everybody is just at odds with each other. I can't even imagine if you had like your mom and dad, brother, sister, siblings, dogs and cats under the same roof. But some people do. Yeah. Some people have a whole family and they couldn't get out. My mom's stuck in Colorado. She's been out there for weeks and weeks with my sister. She couldn't get home.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when you need, that whole tones. And it's, you know what, folks, if it sounds like a sales pitch, it's really not. It's an observation. It's my observation. For example, okay. And my wife and I had this conversation very recently. We were playing whole tones. Actually, she was. I was in my office, and this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and she was using that at bedtime. And then I was playing whole tones, being in my office all of the time, my home office, that is. I was playing the whole tones, the energy, you know, frequency, the energy for your day.
Uh-huh.
And she asked me a question, and I could not real. I mean, I couldn't answer. She said, "How does that even work?" And I said, "What?" She said,
yeah.
I, "At night, I can go to, this helps me go to bed, and during the day, you don't have to take your senior citizen nap anymore. How does that work?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to ask Michael next time I have him on." So, you know,
he's going to tell you.
Yeah, and do tell, because it works.
Okay. So now a lot of, and I love you guys. A lot of you guys are on every time I'm on, and I'm so thankful, but there's always new listeners coming into your show. That's what's so amazing. You have a huge audience, and people know you, that they can trust you, Doug. And so we have new people. So in essence, I'm not going to tell you the whole story of how I found Whole Tones today, but I am going to tell you of how it works. And Whole Tones, in a nutshell, in an elevator speech, is really frequency enhanced music that's tuned in a proprietary way, different from any music that you've ever heard. And why does that work? And then how does active work? I'm going to answer those two questions. We know that music soothes the savage beast. We've known that since the days of Pythagoras. We also have learned through people like Nikola Tesla, Royal Rife, and others that proper frequency can change people in a radical way on a cellular level to create an optimum life and spontaneous healing. We know that. So my idea was to find proper healing frequencies that we know move a marker in people's lives, and then add music that's tuned specifically to a fixed frequency that is harmonic with those frequencies. That sounds heady, but basically what it amounts to is everything is a frequency. Every word, every thought, every intention. And here we are in the middle of a plandemic, or okay, pandemic. Don't want anyone to get mad at me. This just happened. Okay. So with my point is that here we are in the midst of all this. And so one person can say one thing that's negative, and what does it do? It starts a pandemic of what? Negativity. What happens if someone speaks something positive? Or what if you guys hear anything that's positive right now? It starts a pandemic of positive thinking and hope. Because hope deferred does what? It makes your heart sick. It makes your stomach feel funny. It makes you worry. It fills you full of anxiety. So what I've done in my crazy life is create music that has frequencies in the music that helps you relax, calm down, take a deep breath. I've made music that can help you sleep. It's clinically proven to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. But what Doug's talking about is the newest project that I undertook a year ago. It's called Active. And what Active does is the same thing the other things do. Frequencies affect us on a cellular level. Every word we speak is a frequency. The power of life and death is in the tongue. I can tell the studio audience that I love them, and there's no mistaking love. Every time Doug and I talk, he doesn't have to wonder if I love him. He knows I do. And people that have been following me for 5 years know I do. But the point is, you can also have hate in your heart, and everybody knows it. And here's the most, and you can see this too. It's not just like versus, like Democrats versus Republicans. There's evil on both. But you can see it. You can. If you have discernment, you can see Republican, Democrat, Independent. Doesn't matter. You can tell someone by what's going on in their eyes, how they talk. You can tell a lot about someone by the frequency that they are transmitting. So when I put this energy project together, which I call, Doug likes to call the players, he likes to call these guys, he calls them like hockey pucks. Okay. which is awesome. We'll get more into the players later, but I call active Sonic caffeine. Now, there's not a person, and we all love caffeine. Doug does. You know, I'm still waiting for my Doug mug. So in the morning.
I apologize.
That's all right. It's not like you're not busy or anything, but I'm going to drink the full out of that coffee when it comes. I call it a Doug mug because Doug has this mug on his desk that I really love all the time. They're great. But getting back to active. So before I get my coffee, I put this music on and you think, what could that possibly do? Well, try it and see. It will kick you right in the pants when you wake up and you'll feel clear. You'll feel happy. I mean, some of us after 50, when you wake up in the morning, it takes a little while to get the engine started. You kind of wake up, you feel kind of foggy in your head. You're kind of like, where am I and what day is this? I go right into the bathroom and I get on my phone and I put my active music on it. And I'm not kidding. Within 40 seconds, I'm just like, I find myself kind of moving faster, dancing around the bathroom a little bit, waking up in the morning, brushing my teeth. But where it really shines is when you work out. And so, and you might be thinking, I haven't worked out in years, or it's never too late. Part of the thing that we've realized during our captivity is that a good night of sleep is absolutely pivotal for what? Keeping your immune system up. The doctors you agree with have actually said that. It doesn't matter what the other ones say. The ones we actually really like are saying, if you don't sleep well, your immune system just goes in the pan. Now, not only that, but we also have to do what? We have to keep in a place where hopefully our cardiovascular, we're moving around. It's easy when you're in quarantine just to sit on your behindy all day long and do nothing and let the whole day run away from you. The point of active is if you, and like me, I didn't have a personal trainer here. You know, I have to do this myself, guys. And if I have music that helps me do that and is embedded with frequencies that energize me in the same way that if I needed to sleep, other frequencies can help me sleep, I'm all about it. And so I actually have been using this for some time now during my daily workout, all aerobic activity, my Stairmaster, when I lift weights and stuff, I put this music on. And I've noticed that normally right about the time I'd run out of gas, you hear this voice, and it's my voice, but it doesn't matter because I do what it says, and it says, don't you give up. Don't you ever give up. And it pushes you on for a few more reps of weights, so another mile on the treadmill. And to answer your question in the longest possible fashion, Doug, active works because it works on the energy center in the body. It helps you proper balance, you know, helps your adrenal system do its job and get that little bit of energy that you need, sustained energy. And then, of course, it's BPM sensitive. What does that mean, right? Beats per minute, the heart. Like 120 beats per minute is like the tonic workout, we could call it frequency, but it's actually how many times that, you know, your heart rate does its thing. And the music should match that. And mine does many times. I have warm up, cool down. I've had it broken into different types, whether it's core or, you know, whether you're doing Pilates or stretching or whether you're grunting heavy weight, or I've tried to put everything together for people so they can just put the headphones on and listen to the music and just have like, it's like having a friend cheer you on when you're ready to give up. So that's how it works.
And that's a great explanation. Somebody sent me an email and saying, you actually look younger. What are you doing? It's just not the different hairstyle. I'm thinking, well, not really doing anything different except, I was always exposed to whole tones and using whole tones, but I've been a lot more and tailoring it to my day I guess that's the right way of saying it. So maybe that's it. Of course, you know, I am getting younger, but no, I feel so much better. And when you feel a lot better, your mood is elevated, your thought process, you're able to think clearer, you're able to handle, the press conferences of Scarf Lady and Fauci, and sometimes Acosta, anyway. No, but it really makes a world of difference. And you know what, before I forget, I just want to toss this out because one thing that's being censored on social media, and I know this is out of order, but I'm going to toss this out anyway. One thing that's being censored on social media, and including there was the video with, I believe it was with Dr. Batar about, I mean, it got like 5 yeah. million views.
He's a great friend of mine, by the way.
Oh, is he really? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to be speaking at his advanced medicine conference. It's supposed to be in the end of May, if that happens.
Wow. Okay. Well, when he mentioned coronavirus and 5G together, which I have no problem doing, of course, I think it was Next News Network intentionally blocked out 5G because, you know, they don't want to get the video censored. So I'm thinking, okay, wait. Now, between the Rockefeller document that you were reading, that when I was reading it, and 5G and coronavirus, I know there's a connection there. I suspect, and that's all about frequency, and you're all about frequency. And I'm thinking, well, if I've got to battle this, I would rather have a hockey puck. Sorry about that, but I would rather have whole tones than a face mask. I'm telling you, yeah. You know, and that's just
well,
me. Go ahead.
We need to give ourselves a fighting chance, and everything that you're talking about is true. I mean, we don't have to go back there, but, you know, we can watch that broadcast again with you and I. I thought it was great. But that point is that was also a one-off. Our country now, they're just beginning to ramp up 5G, but I don't believe it will be anywhere near what China's is. China has over 150,000 towers, and they turned all of that on right about the same time that all of this came down. So really, it was the perfect storm. Okay, so that was really it. It was a combination of two different things at one time. And so you can't really extricate. You can't say, well, it was just because of this. And you can't say it was just because of that. But what was interesting, whether it was planned or not, and I don't know, they both happened at the same time. And so that kind of leaves you wondering. And by the way, the Chinese government ended up shutting it down afterwards. So my guess was they probably realized it was exacerbating a horrible situation that was also underlying with the virus. But my point is that all of that stuff is I can only for sure change your environment. I can change the environment of your home. I can make your home a place that you can't wait to get home to, because when you open the door, there's peace waiting for you, and your whole member of your all the members of your family will understand and feel it immediately. And your furry friends, your dogs, your cats, your parrots, and your ferrets. I'm not trying to sell you anything. All of our stuff is fully guaranteed.
And you know, I didn't mean to jump in here, except, you know, the people who talk about 5G and the frequencies, why not? I mean, that's what this is all about, isn't it? The fact
right.
that you've got
right.
something to help us, and whether it helps us combat or keep away illness or whatever, it helps us. And why not? Well, I mean, of all the times, now's the time, I believe, to bring this out.
You're right.
Use this as a defensive weapon. And hey, kind of an offensive weapon too. And that's whole tones. And I believe in this so much. That's why, I want everyone to experience this. If you're listening to me, I really want you to experience it. You're not going to believe me because there's no words I can give you. This really works. And by the way, folks, Michael's not paying me to say this. I'm telling you, I found something that works. And if I find something that works, I'm going to tell you about it. And I'm telling you about it. This works. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know.
Oh, you never interrupt me. You can tell them about what you can do. I mean, we always try to make it more affordable. So you can tell them about that too.
Sure. We have promotion, right? We have a promotion, wholetones.com. Use, is it slash Hagman? I think it's slash, is it a slash Hagman? You know what?
It's your usual one. I think it's,
Eric the Tech, paging Eric the Tech.
Oh, it's just coupon code is Hagman.
There you go. Thank you. Okay.
Great. Hagman.
And you receive $10 off, I believe, shipping? Is that?
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
All right. I want to make sure, Eric just sent me a flash thing here. Let me tell you what it would be a buy at three times the cost, but it's very, very affordable. So go to wholetones.com and enter the coupon code Hagman at checkout for $10 off. I believe, or free shipping, or just do that, folks. I'm telling you, wholetones.com, and enter the coupon code Hagman. It really works. And that's, you know what, the people that are close to me, I mean, I see it work in their lives. And I mean that. I see it work in my daughter's life. I see it work in my wife's life and in my dog's life, in my life. And that's what counts. So I want to share that with you, folks.
Well, thank you, my brother. So I think the other important thing is that, you know, again, I love a term that I picked it up from Doug, which is force multiplier. I mean, I'm looking in my life for anything, guys, that will make my life better. And we're definitely talking about frequency music, and that's one part of it. I don't ever tell anybody that what I do is everything. It's part of a toolbox that every American should have in their home to protect them. Protect them from what? Everything that you can't see. So we've talked a little bit about 5G. We've talked a little bit about EMFs, you know, electromagnetic fields, and they've been around forever, but they get worse because of technology. I mean, I can tell you, and the only reason I'm talking to you like this is because I want you to have a wonderful life while you're here. I want it to be the life fantastic. And I can tell you, honestly, little things. I'll give you a few real quick ones. The first one, let's just do it together, and Doug can do it too. But here's the first thing humans do when they're under duress, when they're stressed, when they're panicked, when they're afraid. They stop breathing deep. It's a fact. They start shallow breathing. We all start shallow breathing. But just, I mean, if you get pulled over and it's a policeman, you're going, you're not taking big, deep, relaxed breaths because you're scared. And so the fight or flight mode kicks in and you're like, or not breathing hard. You know, wait a few more seconds to breathe than normal. The best thing that you can do to get peace really, really quick, and you can read this in any kind of, like panic attack or anxiety stuff, is breathing properly. So we're going to do this right now. It's a 5-second exercise. I want all of you guys watching, Doug too, the birthday boy, take a deep breath and hold it to the mental count of 5. Ready?
Okay.
Wow. Okay. What do you feel right now? What do you feel right now?
Winded. You just took I'm kidding. actually,
you need active.
I was joking. Actually, a little calmer, you know?
Yeah. And to the degree that you're shallow breathing, more calmer. I mean, I've seen stuff, like just give you an example. You know, obviously going to a me and my wife tease about it, when we do have to go, you know, to the grocery store somewhere, we always say, let's put on our hazmat suit. You know, we put on all the same stuff. You know, we got the mask, we got the gloves, we got the antibacterial, you know, you could be standing like at the deli, which I think it's still amazing that, you know, they still have a deli open. I'm thankful for that. But like the other day, there was people waiting in line and they have the little, it's really aggravating at ours because they have arrows on the floor and everybody's always going the wrong way. It's like, I don't really understand why the arrows help on an aisle. That means you got to go through the whole store to get to what you want. It's kind of dumb. But anyway, at the deli counter, they've got like these 6-foot incremental lines. And so the line was getting kind of long. And this is funny. And this guy just comes apart at the deli lady. Like she has control over, you know, how long a person takes to and how many things they want, you know, and how much meat they want cut. And he just comes unglued. And I'm looking at the poor butcher, the meat cutter back there, the deli person. And she's just in tears, you know, because this guy is so vile and rude. And that the guy in me just wanted to go pull him out of line and shake him. But, you know, we have to keep social distance. So anyway, by the time I got up to, you know, order my, you know, whatever, boar's head stuff. She looks at me and she's like, she's visibly shaken. She goes, what do you want? And I said, I want you to take a deep breath with me right now. And we did that exercise. It was 5 seconds, but she couldn't take 2 seconds without hacking somebody up. So I said, she goes, but there's people behind you. And I said, you're the meat lady. They're going to wait for you or they're not going to get any snacks. She just started laughing. And I said, now take a deep breath. Well, guess what? When she took that deep breath, you could see her eyes clear. You could see her face. She goes, you're not from around here, are you? And I said, no, actually I am. I'm from right up the street. But, you know, just remember, if people stress you out, just take a deep breath and they'll have to wait for you. And I'm telling all Americans that it's like we live in this pressure cooker. Everything has to be now. Everybody wants everything now. It's funny, even during this time, you know, we sent out a couple shipments and it got there like a day late. And some people got frustrated with me. And I said, have you been on Amazon lately? They're the shipping maestros of the world. There's everywhere. I ordered something, believe it or not, on Amazon that was a Prime. I still don't have it. It was 2 weeks ago, Doug. And it says, we are only shipping things that are priority. Well, it was an engine part for my motorcycle. I would think that's a priority if I want to drive it. But, oh, no, instead of it coming tomorrow, it's going to come in 3 weeks. And nobody's complaining.
Wow.
But they got mad at me because it was a day late. And we're shipping everything out just like everybody else is, you know. And so my point is that if we don't find a place of peace, a covert in this storm, a place where we can go and take our families with us, this is going to be even more difficult. I do believe with all my heart that, like I said, I believe that this will pass. I really do. I really do. We've been here before. Y2K, if you remember, that was insanity. There was books out about it, you know? It was like Dummy's Guide for Y2K. Churches were having all of these, you know, Daniel closets and all this stuff. And it wasn't even a blip on our radar. This one is. But we're the same people. We're the same country. We will recover. We will be better than we've ever been before. But until we are, and as long as you're in this really strange place, you want to take a lot of deep breaths. You've got to sleep. I have something for you for that. You need to do what? You need to be careful about how you talk to each other because your words are frequency. You need to encourage your family that are there. You need to take care of your little fur babies. You know why? Because often, you know, we think we have stressed out pets, but the truth really is they're just off-gassing our stress and they get stressed out because they love us so much. They just want to take it. If we're sick, they want to take our sickness. If we're stressed out, they'll assimilate our stress. And a lot of times, like right now, we're seeing a lot of this, Doug, people saying, my cat's peeing and pooping all over, you know, my house right now. What can I? Well, that's nervousness.
Sure.
And that dog has not been getting like a Twitter feed. The cat has not been watching the news. They don't know what's going on, but they know that you know what's going on and they're picking up your stress and you're being freaked out and whatever. And they have a physiological response, don't they? They lose control of their bowels. They vomit. They have digestion issues. They start chewing stuff. Some of the women have lost Gucci shoes during this quarantine time. That is a predictable anxiety attack on a dog, cat, parrot, or ferret. We also have something to help them. And I got to tell you that this week especially, I don't know what we would have done without Whole Tones for Pets, because I'm a pet owner. My little Ziva, you know my doggie.
Oh, yeah.
She was picking up on something this week, and I thought she was sick, Doug. She just laid down with her little head on the pillow, like all day, no energy or whatever, and I just turned up the music, and boom. She woke up today, and her little tail's going in the morning, and it was just like, this is crazy that something like this can work, but is it really? I got a call. You don't even know this yet. This is really getting exciting. There's a man named Jordan Rubin that is a beautiful man. He used to own Garden of Life supplements. He's now with Dr. Axe, and they're one of the biggest combos in the world. He had Get Real Nutrition. He's a formulator, has some of the best vitamins on the planet. But he was the first one to get Chroma, which is my light and sound project on DVD and Blu-ray. And he's been using it indoors to, guess what, to grow his plants for 5 years. Now, this is where it gets really fun. So over the last 5 years, I've had all these people buying this stuff. They don't realize that there's licensing. They just go ahead and use it for whatever, and it's really not. If you have a commercial business, you're supposed to buy the license to be able to use it commercially because you're making money off it. I don't make very much money off of it. So long story short, I got a call from a company yesterday. I've been getting stuff from growing plants and hydroponic gardens for years, but I got one yesterday from the biggest farm of microgreens. And I couldn't believe the pictures they sent me. Here's our plants listening to your music. Here's our plants just normally in a quiet room. It was like looking at two different plants. One of them was twice as tall, twice as dense, and they're saying even the bio nutrition is like 60% greater, the output of actual nutrition. So if you think about that, then all of this, your Rubik's Cube moment just came. Okay, why does it help me sleep? Why does it help me get energy? Why does it help my pet? Why does it make plants grow? Simple. Whole tones frequencies, many frequencies, not just the ones on whole tones that are positive and harmonically balanced, actually work on a cellular level. So whatever's, you know, whatever has breath is going to benefit greatly from this technology.
Amen.
Simple.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have not done any studies on plants, but I can tell you on people, it's amazing. What I've seen with this, with people, I could be a walking testimonial myself, in my home. And, the other thing too, my grandson who lives with us and along with his mother, really responsive to this, first tooth. What a nightmare, you know?
But, oh, yeah.
But I gotta tell you, I should video this because you can actually see him change from being really crabby and really just to, you know, once the whole tones is being played, almost, you can almost see it with your eyes, this change. Well, you can, you know, the wrinkly forehead and the puffy cheeks. I mean, they relax. And so, you know, this is something, especially now, while we're trying to mentally work through what we're working through, I believe we need to focus. We need to rest. We need to rejuvenate ourselves, the cells. And this, I'm not making any claims, but I'm telling you, I see this in my life, in my family's life, in my pet's life, family. And, it's amazing. So I just hope in this period of time and even beyond this, folks, if you're hearing this for the first time, try this out. And you're right, by the way. It is wholetones.com and use the promo code Hagman at checkout for $10 off. That is the correct, I was getting ready for the show anyway, the paper was under another paper. So there it is. It's on your screen. Wholetones.com, promo code Hagman for $10 off. And that's quite a savings because, it's already inexpensive for what you receive. And you know, the sound quality on those? Oh my word. I don't know how you fit, you know, the big band in there. You've got a whole orchestra inside there. They're little people with big instruments, man. Telling you.
You know what's amazing too that we don't talk about so much, but I'm blessed enough to know you at least over the phone. We have a relationship. And I know that you're going through a lot and have gone through a lot. And a lot of our listeners have gone through a lot and you're going through a lot. And yours truly has gone through a lot. But here's the thing. There's times like this that show us who we are. It's times like this that there was a couple of viewers like, oh, why is this guy so happy? Why is he smiling and laughing? It's like they wanted me to be miserable. And the question I have for you is, what would that benefit anyone if I was? And especially the least, wouldn't I be the one suffering if I was bummed out, freaked out, scared? Not in the least. So what I'm saying is the best time to find out what's under the hood is when it's massively tested. You'll find out right now who you are by what's going on in the world that you cannot control. And the other side of it that's really great, where we're all on the same playing field, is we know what works during the most horrendous of times. So if there was ever a time to try whole tones, it would be now. I believe that this was given to me by God for such a time as this, exactly this time, for one reason. I mean, this is it. If it doesn't work for you, send it right back because you're going to know it's never going to get. I mean, most of the time things are going to get a lot better from now on. This is kind of the pinnacle of just absolutely everything just being a maelstrom of insanity. This is when you put whole tones to test. This is the best thing that could possibly happen to someone if they want a self-diagnosis or a diagnostic of their faith or their strength or their chutzpah. It's not when everything's great. Everybody can be great when everything's great. The great men and women come to the forefront when things are really, really bad. Then that special quality comes out. Everyone's like in Florida, we have hurricanes, but my friends have been through tornadoes. Tennessee's flooded a few times. They're called the volunteer state for a reason, because they all join in together in a calamity and they don't even wait on government funding. They just fix their own place. So what I'm saying to you this morning, guys, is I'm offering simply a solution to some pretty heavy situation problems that people have every day. But ultimately, we need to look at this as a blessing in disguise. I think it's a great reset in time. I don't think that all of the horrible things that are happening are going to be part of our life. I think in the genius of God and in the genius of the guy that's sitting in the Oval Office today, everything that's ugly, every rock's being turned up, the light is exposing the darkness. And those that have power issues, governors, people in politics that have power issues, they're being highlighted and redlined everywhere. Guys, this is a season of exposure. It's just like a camera. But you know, the one part about the camera, even though what's exposed is exposed in a dark room, there could be no exposure without light. And this is the season of light. This is the season right now where we don't have time to be miserable. We don't have time to complain. We don't have time to talk about on social media how inconvenient are because we can't go to a barber. Put on a hat. Put on a happy face. Seriously, because at the end of the day, what's going to change your attitude is gratitude. And that attitude adjustment will change your altitude adjustment. You'll find yourself in a higher level of frequency, and you'll find yourself being able to encourage people that they don't encourage very well. They're nervous Nellies and Debbie Downers. So what I brought to the table that my friend Doug does use, and I don't pay him to use it, he just loves it, is something that will make an instant change in your home right now. And now is the time for that. But there's other things that you can do. And one of the things that you can do is pray. Pray for the president of the United States. Pray for people that are in charge right now. There's a mess out there. You and I aren't in charge right now, but we can be in charge in our family. We can pray. We can ask God to bring a great awakening to our nation. And there's a lot of great people out there right now, guys, this show is one of them, Doug Hagman, that are doing their very best. And sometimes it's a thankless job, I can tell you from experience. We're doing our best to get information out there, and we're doing our best to come up with a solution to help you today. So I'm so thankful for you guys, and I'm so thankful for this man that I call my friend. And all I can say is that do everything in your power to, well, let me, can I read it real quick, Doug? Can I do that?
Please, yes, yes. And by the way, folks, I'm thankful for my good friend, Michael. And I just want to say this real quick, because I think it's important to say, you know, we care about you. I know Michael does. I do. We care about everyone listening and watching this. And so that, this step is so important. Take care of yourself, and you can do so. But as you say, in a number of ways, this product is great. But pray too. Pray for just pray. But go ahead. I didn't mean to take your time. Go ahead.
Man, I always feel like I do all the talking. No. I love hearing you. Go ahead.
No, I mean, look, people can hear me all the time. So I asked you to come on, and I don't want to. You're gracious enough to come on, so go ahead.
Well, I think that what it boils down to, you know, we could go deep in this, but I usually do that on Sunday night. But, you know, we're looking at, okay, what is this war that the president, I find this interesting, Doug. What is this war that the president talks about almost daily with an invisible foe? Do you really think that, I mean, knowing all of the plagues and issues that we've had in our own country and abroad for years, do you really think that the invisible foe that we all face is the virus. I don't. Mm-mm. I don't think it's flesh and blood. You know what I think? I think it's a fight, a war between truth and deception. That's what I think. And let me say that with adding a little bit. If you're deceived, that means you're sleeping. You're the Rip Van Winkle of your neighborhood. You're asleep and you really don't know. I think that, when the Bible says, I would not have you be ignorant, that's not a negative statement. A lot of people say, you know, if someone says you're ignorant, they think that that's a derogatory statement. The word, ignorant means to not know. I'm not offended if somebody tells me I don't know a particular topic. There's much I don't know in this world. Doug tells me something and he could say, if I didn't know, he could say, you're ignorant to this, and he'd be right. So it's not a derogatory word, but a large cross-section of Americans are ignorant to what is really happening because they're still watching the mesmerism of propaganda, MSM, every day, fake news. We could go into great detail. I posted some today of pictures that one person posts and says it's from Italy, and then another person says it's from Pennsylvania, then another person says it's from, and it's the same picture. Down here in Florida, they lied and said all our beaches are open. There was two beaches open on a limited time, not for sunbathing. You can walk for a couple hours during the day. And the picture they showed was hundreds of people on this beach. And then they did the same in California with the same picture in the same clothes. Everything was the same. Then they did the same again in another Florida beach. And then I posted the real-time camera from Jacksonville Beach. And guess what? Crickets. Two people walking 20 feet away from each other. It's all a lie. So if we can get truth, everyone's searching for the truth right now, right? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What we're looking for from man, we can only find through him. What if the truth is a person? I just want you to think about that. Finally, I'm going to read this real quick because we only have a couple minutes, I think.
Yes.
But actually, in Matthew 6th chapter, in my translation, you know what the heading says, Doug? The cure for anxiety. So we've given you a bunch. Whole Tones will help you, but I'm telling you, this is spiritual too. And if I had the cure for anxiety in a book that's, you know, been a bestseller for over 2,200 years, wouldn't you want to hear about it? And it says this, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. So that must mean we have what? Some semblance of control over if we worry or not. It's just not willy-nilly, right? We have no control over anxiety. Yes, we do. Do not be worried about your life as to what you would eat or what you would drink, or for the lack of toilet paper, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you worth much more than them? And who of you, by being worried, can add one single hour to his life? What a statement. Actually, what you're doing is you're minimizing life because of all of the poison that's pouring into your body and all the hormonal imbalance, including an abundance of cortisol, by worrying, having faux heart attacks and rushing to the emergency room because it's an anxiety attack. Now, listen. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and yet they don't toil or spin. Yet I say that even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like, not even Solomon, in all of his glory, could clothe himself like one of these flowers. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Okay, so when I see that, I'm not offended by that either. What I am conscious of is that if a mustard seed of faith can move a mountain, and I have little faith, my faith is smaller than a mustard seed, and I need another measure of faith. Do not worry, then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things from your heavenly Father, and he knows you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here's what I want to leave you with today. So do not worry about tomorrow. We were never promised tomorrow, guys. We got today. We're with each other right now. That's all we can be assured of. But tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own, so do not worry.
Do not worry.
Don't do.
I've got to tell you, what an uplifting message from the greatest selling book in, of all time. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do, and I mean that. And thank you for spending your time with me today. I know you were busy. I know that you had other things to do, but you agreed to come on with me, and I really appreciate it. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you do, and I appreciate what
you've
done.
I love you, man.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Wow, that hour went fast, folks. Whew. You're listening to the Hagman Report. Michael Terrell, wholetones.com. And, folks, I'm telling you, what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes in my life. Wholetones.com. Promo code Hagman for $10 off your order. And boy, we need it now more than ever. Going to be right back after this network break.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
And welcome to the Hagman Report. I want to thank everyone for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform, in what we do every day, the information we bring forth. It is so great. I believe it is so great of a responsibility to be in this position, because of all the misinformation out there, of all the false information, not just misinformation as in mistake or mistaken or whatever, but the false information. And you know, I just sent Eric the Tech a audio clip. My guest this hour is Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. The link is going to be in the program description box. But I sent him a audio clip from the Keith Hansen show, which airs under the umbrella of the Hagman Report. It's the Hagman Network. This was back 8 days ago, 8 calendar days ago. And this was from his April 14th show. Before I bring the, okay. All right. Well, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Rather than mess around with that, I'll bring Dr. Proctor on. But it was, the gist of it And we don't have to play it today. The gist of it is we see the reaction by our state officials, state governors, for example, and what they've been doing in terms of cutting off our rights, acting in an unconstitutional manner, acting against the United States Constitution. And then Keith Hansen played the governor of South Dakota, pro-Constitution. I'm telling you something, and sticking up for the rights of her state and the rights of the United States, the rights of the people of the United States. So one of the things, and this is the last thing I'll say before I bring Dr. Proctor on, is one of the issues or one of the things that I see as a problem is we as Americans don't know the Constitution as well as we should. We have some memorization of the Constitution. We know the 27 amendments. We know or should know them, at least the first and second people can relate to. But we don't know the Constitution really, which is where Saving the Constitution, the book titled Saving the Constitution, comes in. Dr. Proctor sent me an email yesterday, I believe it was, from someone who was read, I believe it was Saving the Constitution, or could have been A Constitution If You Can Keep It. From memory, I don't know, but the value of the knowledge contained in that book and the way Dr. Proctor was able to explain things, the wording, the punctuation, the grammar used and everything, really made a big difference. So we're receiving a lot of great testimonials, but really, this is the time, right now, this time, we should really, all of us Americans, and I know we have people listening from all over the world, but especially the Americans, we as Americans should know the Constitution. And the expert on the Constitution, in my view, nobody better than Dr. Richard Proctor. Dr. Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Today, a little different, but good to be here.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you look great, sir. You look great.
Oh, well, good enough, good enough. I forgot the bag.
I don't think you need one. But boy, I'll tell you what, we're receiving, and I know I hopefully you are too, but I'm receiving a lot of information. I see the comments on YouTube. A lot of positive comments about your work, your information, the information that you provide. How great is that? I mean, you're changing people's lives.
Oh, I don't know if I receive the same ones you do, or if I receive different ones, but it is an inspiration that people are responding, and they're looking at the book and they're reading it and they're commenting back. And that's the purpose. The purpose of the book wasn't to use paper and trees. The purpose of the book was to help people understand what is going on. And I'm tickled to death with the response we're getting. I have not had any negative response, and I don't care if I get them, but I haven't had any negative response. And that's very good, I think.
Are you seeing, and this is a question, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. Of course, this locking out of schools and keeping children home occurred toward the end, I guess, of the school year, maybe not that far. But are you seeing an interest by homeschoolers now, or people that are suddenly find themselves to be homeschoolers, in the Constitution? Are you seeing an increase in the interest, I guess, is my question.
Well, I can measure the interest mostly by what people want when they order.
Okay.
And we're selling a lot of the homeschooling books, a lot of them. I've had to do another two orders for both of them. So it's a good thing. People are paying attention. They are looking at them. I'm pleased with that.
And the reason I ask that is because I believe, after reading your books, those books teach the Constitution, in my view, the way it should be taught, and the American Constitution. And it's not through the filter of a liberal teacher, for example. So I'm just excited about that. I really am. And I hope everyone listening really takes advantage of this time to teach their children, as well as ourselves, the Constitution. Refresh.
Yeah, remember, I wrote the economics book first. Yep. And I wrote that after I had taught a homeschooling group. I taught this group for a whole school year. And I taught economics and Constitution to this group for a school year. 30 kids started, you know, and so that's a good number. And I was pleased with that. And I took the notes that I used to write those two books, both of them, so that it would meet the needs of high school age kids. And that's what the goal is. Now I've discovered a young lady wrote me an email, said she's been reading it and she's not a high school young child. She is an adult with years on and is happy as a lark to be learning these kinds of things. And the book is not just for high school kids. Okay. It just explains it nicely for high school kids. And when the adults go through it, take the test. See what you did. If you didn't do it right, read it again. Read that chapter again. The intent was to be able to help youth know the truth about our Constitution.
I think, I honestly think that we need to send a copy of Saving of the Constitution. It's right here, folks. Right here. Here's my copy. I think we should send this to members of Congress and governors, state governors. And you know what? Add a Constitution if you can keep it. I like this for different reasons, of course. It's spiral bound. You can lay it flat. But so much information in these two books and so many people, at least in my view, have wrong ideas about what our Constitution says. It's just amazing how much I've learned from you and these segments that we do together. And the books, of course. And folks, you get the books at provisinstitute.com. And over my shoulder, you can't see it now because of the split screen, I've got the Liberty series as well. Oh my goodness. You talk about diving, taking a deep dive into the history. Which brings us to the present of all of this, from our founding to the structure of the government and the influences, negative influences as well. It's amazing. So you are very talented, that's for sure. And a lot of people think you're good looking too. A lot of women think you're good looking. I get that.
Oh, Jeremy, they need glasses.
but anyway. Well, what do you think is important to discuss today? What would you like to talk about? Yeah, what would you like to talk about?
What's coming to me the most is people saying, "What can we do? What can we do about this?" Yep. And I believe that we need to. Civil disobedience. Thoreau and his civil disobedience. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
And he went out to Walden's Pond, that kind of stuff. Well, he did that by himself. Today, I would recommend groups of 20, 30, if you can get that many, 10, no less than 10, 15, gather to do something that they feel is important to show that they're not going to be taken down by the federal government. Just go back to work. Just get the crew that's supposed to go to work and go there. You know, this week it came to my attention. Can you believe it? 2 million chickens in a company in New Jersey are destroying all those chickens because people aren't coming to work. They're not coming to work.
Wait. 2 million chickens being destroyed? Okay.
2 million chickens. Being destroyed. That came from the Griffin Report, Edward Griffin Report. I get those every day. 2 million chickens. And look at all the meat. Look at all the value. That company can't afford that. They can't. They can't stay in business even another week, probably, because the people didn't come to work. And why didn't they come to work? Because the government has scared them to death.
Right.
I give you an illustration of what happened to me. Just recently in the post office, I was coming out. There was a gentleman standing right there, a nice looking young man standing right there. I says, I said to him, I think it'll be neat when we can stand next to one another again. Cause everybody in the post office, all the lines are listed out 10, 12 feet apart, at least that, at least six. And I wouldn't it be neat? And the lady behind him, as I walked, moved away so she wouldn't be next to me and said, where's your mask? And I says, oh, you know, I don't believe in that. I don't need it. And neither do you. Oh, yes, I do. She said, as she went, as I passed. So now you hear, do I call that the lemmings? Yes, I do. Not paying any attention to the facts or the possibility of everything they're talking about. Today's Griffin report. Wow, it's phenomenal. I sent that to you today, Doug. I sent it as a foreword. It's got 7 or 8 articles. The last one is the most important. The last one is an article talking about what happened in the White House on a hot mic. And the discussion on a hot mic after, you know, it's not supposed to be on, but it was.
Yep.
After their discussion. And so this is a hoax, isn't it? And that's the sentence in the White House press room after the, when the hot mic was still on. Guys.
Yeah. Amazing.
Go ahead.
No,
yeah, go ahead.
I heard that. And actually, I played that, or had my wife play that too. I said, what do you think of this? And she looked at me and she said, is this real? And I said, yeah, it's real. I mean, based on everything I've read, because sometimes, you know, things get a little bit, get kind of quirky. You know, you don't know if somebody just made it up or whatever. And, I said, look, I looked into it. I mean, there's links on from reputable sites. And we were thinking and she said, man, you know, then boy, we've really, really been lied to in a big way, obviously. I mean, more than when it comes from that room, and I've been in that room, that briefing room, you know, I've been there. That's a small room, by the way. And coming from there, I don't know. Go ahead.
All of this just brings the more importance to my Liberty series. The Liberty series goes through numerous false flags like this one. And they're all the time. That Las Vegas shooting was a false flag. I can't find anything that verifies that occurred. And we just go on and on, guys. We got in the Korean War because of false flags. UN this time. We got in the Vietnam War because we got into Korea. I'm not Korea. World War II because of Pearl Harbor, which in fact was a planned event by the federal government. And you can understand that exactly. If you get A Day of Infamy, that book, it describes in detail what was done. Our government, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, got in touch or assigned one of his staff in March, April, that time frame, to come up with a study on what would cause the Japanese to attack us. We don't want to do the first attack. We want them to attack us. How can we do it? And that gentleman came up with several points and they were all put in effect. And it worked. December the 7th. Now, Marshall, chief, he was the, Marshall was the chief of the military services at that point. I forget exactly what your title would be. I can't remember all these things. Stuff's pouring out of my mind because I'm bringing more stuff in. But anyway, Marshall was talking to the media in November, like November the 15th, and he put them in a pledge of secrecy and told them what was going on. And he was not available on Sunday morning. Why was he not available? Because he was out on his horse. Why was he on his horse? Because the government knew exactly where those ships were every day of that week coming up. And the charts there in the book showing you exactly where those ships were every day. Guys, we just don't get the information. It's there. They say the people in the movies and the facts and all this kind of stuff they call facts, they say that those ships didn't have any communication with anybody during that time. Well, 129 messages went back and forth from Tokyo to the ships. The ships, how can you tell? They had triangulation on where the ships were because they knew People in Morse code have a signature. When they're tapping out those things, they have a signature, how they do it. So when someone gets acquainted with the signature of a particular person, all they have to do know is what ship is he on. And they're usually on the same ship. So they followed those ships based upon the messages that were being sent between the ships and back to Japan. And they kept track of exactly where they were, triangulating it. I mean, there was no surprise. This was it was planned. They kept ships in Seattle that were going to go across the Atlantic, going to the west across the Atlantic. They stopped them in Seattle so they wouldn't by chance run into this convoy that was coming. They told the general and they told the admiral, you can't look to the north. Just keep looking all around, but don't go to the north. I mean, it was a setup. And then who was the scapegoat at the end? That admiral and that general. Oh, guys, we have a lot of things that go on in our government. And I haven't talked at all, nor have I included anything about it, about the 9/11 information in any of my books. I have included books that you can get to learn about it, but I have not included any information. I didn't have time to do everything. But here we have a case where those buildings were brought back down in their footprint. Buildings don't fall down if they're not in their own footprint unless it's planned implosions. They do it all the time. We've seen many of them in Las Vegas as they bring down the buildings. You can see them all the time. Make comparisons. When a building falls in its own footprint, it's not natural. It's not natural. And then we have Building 8 over on the side that fell down in at 3 o'clock, which nobody points out. Fell down 6 hours later. Some say, oh, that was because of the vibrations. Oh, that's just hogwash. Those buildings don't fall down because of vibration. That building fell down 8 seconds, bottom to top, collapse on that same day in the afternoon.
Yeah, actually, nice. That was, by the way, that was Building 7, and I think it was a little off for 5.
Oh, yeah, Building 7.
There was a woman, wasn't there a woman, a newscaster in London, saying the building collapsed when it was still standing, and then it collapsed after?
Yes, that did occur. There was an announcement that it collapsed before it happened. Yes, that did occur.
Kind of like Pearl Harbor, by the way. There was an announcement, and I believe it was in the print media about an attack on Pearl Harbor, and before it happened. I'm telling you, it's there if you look for it.
Hmm. Oh, I didn't run across that one. I'm not surprised,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Media knew. Marshall told them what was going to happen. There was no surprise.
No. You know, and so here we are today. Event 201 on October 18th of last year, Bill and Melinda Gates sponsored event talking about a pandemic, a coronavirus pandemic. And lo and behold, here we are.
Here it is.
And
they're the people with the copyrights. I mean, the patents too.
Yes. Yes. And of course, the Rockefeller Foundation released a document back in May of 2010. Talking in past tense about an event like we're seeing today about a pandemic. It's just incredible the hubris of these people that, they can treat us, you and I, and everyone listening like we're morons, you know, like we're,
yes.
Man,
we are demonstrating as a group. We are demonstrating that we are morons. Okay, as a group, we are demonstrating that.
Yeah,
isn't that too bad?
Yes, I mean, stay in your house. Okay, you know, yeah.
Wear a mask. Okay, you know, those masks don't do anything. They're decorative. That's all, and they're really most of them not decorative. But that's all they're doing. It's just decorative mouthpiece. Nothing more.
You and I are a lot alike because I got to tell you. I had some.
Well, you're good looking, and I'm.
Yeah. Would you tell my wife that? I know. Here's the thing. You know, when I went into the grocery store, I recounted this a couple of times. Once pre-mandated mask, and once post-mandated mask. I went into the grocery store, and the first time I went in, only the cashier had the mask on, plexiglass. I don't know. I mean, it was like, you know, security guards. Yeah. My goodness. I don't know if somebody, if they thought somebody's going to steal a nut butter peanut bar or whatever. But I'm telling you, it was just, and the markings on the floor and the Seinfeld soup Nazi kind of environment. But, this last time I went in, I had to wear a mask, which was, it went into effect on this past Sunday. So I didn't wear a mask when I walked in the lobby, and there's a guy standing there, and he's got his arms folded and looking. He looks at me and says, "Your mask, sir." And I thought, wow. And so I said, yeah, that'll help. And so I put it on, but, I was with my wife, and anyway, make a long story short, I could not handle the people who are walking around looking like zombies. Well, it's from the set of The Walking Dead, just following the lines on the floor, listening, and like lemmings, like you said. In fact, my wife made me go sit in the car because I was starting to act out against this tyranny.
Yeah, that's what I do.
She was mad. I was going to write on the face mask. I had a Sharpie, and she, before we left, she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Sorry. What are you doing?" And because I was, don't write anything on the face mask. But anyway, but you know what? You said it though. You said it. If, you know what? If everyone just said, "We're going back to work."
That's right. That's right.
What are they going to do? Arrest all of us?
Yeah, that's the problem. See, if they can't do it. They already have arrested all of us. They put us in our homes, but sure, they don't have places in the incarcerated buildings left. So what are they going to do? And are going to give us all citations? Well, go on, take it on into court, then complain about the maritime court and insist on a jury as Article 7, Amendment, the 7th Amendment says, yeah. Insist on that jury. When the jury shows up, just make sure that they know that their first piece of business is to ensure that the jury knows they must look at the constitutionality and legality of the law before they look at whether or not I was violating that law. And if they find it unconstitutional, then they haven't got a case. Then if they decide it's constitutional, then you can say, well, where's the $20 max damage? There's no $20 damage. There's no case. You mean you got those steps right in a row. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and test them, but if you have a whole bunch of people, you can.
Sure.
Just thoughts.
It blows my mind. What I'm seeing really blows my mind. And thank you, by the way, for sending that. And you're right. G. Edward Griffin's news and analysis, that bulletin, it reads, in what you sent me, Ron Paul reveals the dire consequences of quarantines and business shutdowns. Oh boy, are there big time, to our economy.
Yes.
They want to let's burn the country down. This one really chaps my, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio threatens $1,000 fine for violating social distance. But
yeah, they're going to get a yardstick and measure it, make sure that you're right, and then $1,000 fine.
What really chapped me a little bit, more than a little bit, is seeing in, I think it was, San Diego, where people watching the sunset in their cars, windows up, being fined $1,000 for a misdemeanor, according to California, for being out there. 22 people. And the police did this. They were, I mean.
Yes.
I would demand every one of those. I hope they demanded a trial. Everyone.
Yes, that's the thing to do. Demand a trial. Bog the system down.
Yep.
There isn't anything to do. There's no case. There's no case. There's no injury. They're treating us like criminals. We haven't had our day in court, and we're already criminals. You know, I listened to Sheriff Mack on the radio program he did a week ago.
Yes.
I need to get some books to him. He needs to get those books to his police people. I'm trying to work on that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, thank you for reminding me about that, because you're exactly right. We'll talk off air about that. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I just grim. The police aren't being taught what they need to know before they go on the beat.
I don't know of any police officer in who I'm friends with who believes in this process of being a Nazi. I mean, maybe that sounds harsh, but Nazi-like behavior.
Well, Doug, we've got to remember that most of the policemen are not of this ilk, but those who are having a heyday.
Yes.
And oftentimes, people who are of this ilk wind up in prison, wardens, and police forces. They often do, because there is control there.
You know, I've done a lot of interviews at Attica and at Rikers, but specifically Attica. I got to tell you, Doctor, some of those guards scare me more than some of the inmates. And,
yeah, well said.
I had an interview a guard at his house, and this is like 25 years ago, 10 years after the riots there. And the guy was in the riots or part of the riots. And I have to tell you, I learned a lot about human nature by that one interview, and I learned a lot about people. And, yeah, the power we're giving, the power, and you talk about the difference between power and authority, but the power we're giving to people, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Isn't this a sad conversation?
Yeah, it is.
Let's cheer it up a little bit. I understand it's your 29th birthday today.
Yeah, it's the anniversary of my 29th birthday. Thanks. Thanks, Eric. Yeah.
I had my 29th last year.
Yeah. You look, I'll tell you what, you know, you look good. But yeah, it is my, oh, it is my, 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, Jack Benny, he went out at 29, then he changed to 39, then he changed to 49, then he passed away. So I'm not going to go past 29.
That's a that's safe bet, right? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my! Well, a little levity well, is needed.
Yeah, I mean, here we're looking at things like, I turn to the document you sent me. Dr. Fauci thinks dating is an essential activity, but working for a living is not. We've lost our flipping minds. I mean,
yes,
and really, you know, I guess I you know what, I'm to the point. And I've talked to other talk show hosts about this as well. How much more talking can we do about this before we go out and say, you know, you can't destroy our economy. You can't destroy our country. We just have to go out and do it. I mean, there's nothing left. What's left to talk about at this point?
Well, from our point of view, there's nothing left to talk about, but the fact that we reach people and encourage them to do these things in groups. Then, you know, that's worthwhile. There's another article in that you're looking at. Over 2 million homes foreclosed on now or are behind in their rent and their, in their mortgages. 2 million?
2.9, almost 3 million. 2.9 million Americans are already delinquent on home loans in a slightly lesser in terms of foreclosure. But yes, facing foreclosure.
And you see, banking works this way. If you don't make a payment, you can't bring it up later. The next day, you got to pay a double payment and then a triple payment. How can you ever afford to do that? So you're down a road. Soon as the first one misses, you're going down that road.
Yep.
And folks, it's being done to us by our own government. Those who have my volumes, my Liberty series, read the preface very closely. I call that the horrors of the 20th century. I discuss all the wars, all the gulags, all the things, all the millions of people that were killed by their own governments. That's the horrors of the 20th century. Well, we're in the middle of our government helping us go into a depression that will be far worse than the 30s was. Far worse. Because people tried to work in the 30s. Today, they're being told not to go home. Don't work. Don't work. We'll send you a check. Oh, good. They're going to send us $6,000 a year. That's really good. Let me see. How many payments can you make? How many house payments? Oh, your wife's going to get another six. Oh, good. That'll be $12,000. How many house payments can you make? Guys, we're in a world of hurt, and we're not doing anything about it as a group of people in mass. We must do something. And that something is get back to work. Go to these protests. They're having protests all over. Go to those things. Do that stuff. Rebel about the masks. Go to the store with a group, 20 people. Don't wear the mask. And don't let them keep you out. I'm sorry. We've got to do something. You got to be ready, though, to get in trouble sometimes. And you got to be ready for that. But I keep remembering our Revolutionary War soldiers. They didn't stay home because they might get shot.
That's right. You're exactly right. When you mentioned about the preface, I grabbed my volume one of Liberty, Will It Survive? Okay, folks, here it is. And this is the first volume that contains the preface. And you had written, and I don't even know if you remember writing this. Oh, I'm sure you do, but.
No, I don't remember. It's 2,000 pages. Go ahead.
But in chapter 10, tracking the population and their activities.
Oh, yes.
I read that, and that's when I first got the book. I read the, obviously in order, and I read that. So I had remembered that, and I went back to it. And you had made some extremely insightful, I don't want to say predictions, but assessments. For example, why do infants have a social security numbers? And I remember, I mean, you and I, we didn't get social security cards when we were born. We were not assigned social security numbers.
I didn't get one until I was 16.
Yeah, me neither. 16. And when I started working, And so the questions that you raise here, to me resemble closely of what is coming, the ID 2020 or what they want to implement, ID 2020. The fact that they want, our DNA, and such. But this is a fascinating section here that you wrote, and it's so prevalent or relevant, I should say, for today. So I wanted to mention that. That was amazing. Go ahead.
I don't remember which volume it is that expands on that. Volume one is an introduction.
Right.
And there's another expansion of that same subject in one of the other volumes. I try to take it into detail rather than just an overview.
But that's the ultimate objective here, isn't it? I guess that I want to pose that as a question to you, the constitutional expert. I have a feeling, and I don't think this is a great leap, that the globalists, obviously, they hate our Constitution. They hate us, but they hate our Constitution. They hate the national exceptionalism, the American exceptionalism and national pride. And they want to absorb us or have us absorbed into the Borg, if you will, or absorb us into the global society and strip us of our liberties and such. And there's nothing really new under the sun. They've been trying to do this for hundreds of years.
Centuries.
But,
just new people. Just different people.
Right. And I'm thinking that President Trump, there was a meme where he said, in reality, they're after you, not me. And, I'm just in the way. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm starting to think that that's the case. I believe that's the case. They're coming after us and, all of the exhibits, all of the examples, the illustrations, a number that you sent, like I said, a number that you sent me here today. It's amazing. But we have to stand up, don't we? We got to stand up and say
yes.
No.
If we don't, we're going down the road. We're lemmings. We're just going down the road.
You mentioned the protests. Do you think that they had any impact whatsoever on the governors? For example, in Harrisburg, there was a huge rally protest in Harrisburg. It seemed to be bigger than other states. They seem to be increasing in size. Are they paying attention to this? These protesters, you think?
I believe that they're paying attention, but they're shoving it aside because the protests have just been once, and the groups need to get larger and more often. You're not at work, go protest. They need to be lots of them, and they need to be often. They need to be often, and they need to grow in size. Then they'll begin to pay attention. Remember, their goal is to get reelected. These people want to be reelected. Well, do it. Show them that they don't do something. They're not going to get reelected. That group isn't good enough. That group's all social separated. There's not enough people. You got to have more people, and you got to have them not social distancing.
Right,
folks. We've got to do something. We've got to.
Well, how do you respond to people who say, well, that's pretty selfish because you could sicken me, you know, or sicken someone else. But here you are. I mean, you and I are both in that high risk category and you're not worried, you know, but how do you respond to someone who says, well, that's pretty, like you had suggested, you know, about the situation of the post office.
Yes.
You know, how do you respond to people like that? And how in the heck do we wake these people up?
The way I would have responded if it had not been in the environment it was at the time it was, when people really earnestly ask me about it, okay, then I say, folks, there isn't a pandemic. Let's look at the statistics. And I go through some of the things that I know occurred. For example, Friday morning, they're talking about 14 to 17,000 new cases of the disease found the day before, when 2 weeks before, they couldn't find any. They couldn't have enough tests to do any. These things are not statistically possible. Then I would show them. I bring out the videos that we had and those clips where the folks went around after the reports in the news went around to those places and discovered there was nobody there. I reference those kinds of things, and I send those out on email if people want them. I try to help people see the truth of what's going on. And if they stay around long enough, I'll go into 9/11,
right,
and I'll go into the Pearl Harbor, and I'll go into the Korean War and the United Nations, and I'll go into the wars with the Remember the Maine. Remember Maine was blown from the inside, not from the outside. Again, it was a false flag. All those things, I just go through this stuff, inundate them with things that the government has done and will continue to do. That's why I almost think that these books now, the Liberty series now, is almost mandatory. I mean, people have got to know what's been going on for the last centuries. It's not new, nothing new under the sun.
I do like how you start in the first chapter, conspiracy. You know, during our time together, we talked about saving the Constitution and a Constitution if you can keep it. But really, we haven't talked about the Liberty series in depth. And it really is all encompassing. Of course, the other books are over my shoulder. This is just volume one. What a phenomenal job. I just want to cite this here. You write, to begin with, we should review what the Founding Fathers felt were some of the unalienable rights that God has endowed all mankind. And let's see here. And you list the right of self-government, the right to bear arms for self-defense, the right to own, develop, and dispose of property, and so on. I won't read them all. But you really go through the list, and I don't know.
Yeah. Doesn't that list come from Clarence Gauzin's The 5,000-Year Leap?
Yes, from pages 125 and 126, as you know, and I should have pointed that out. But the way you infuse that into the introduction and then make, you know, create this image, this picture and the foundation for the Liberty Series, I thought was just phenomenal because people either take these for granted or attack these rights. So, the right of a free conscience.
The reason that I haven't talked about these books so much in our previous encounters was because really we're talking about the Constitution. But now we have come to such a point. Everyone knows the Constitution's being violated. Now we're getting to a place where we need to know a little history about how it's been done before. Yes. So we can see the pattern. That's the only reason I bring these things up now, because I want people to understand this is not the first time. This is a continuing pattern over and over and over again. And they won't know that pattern unless they have the information in front of them. You know, you can't talk about something you know nothing about. You can't ask questions about something you know nothing about. You can't do anything about anything you know nothing about. You gotta know things. And the only way you can know things is to tap on other people's knowledge. I do it all the time. I tap on other people's knowledge all the time. It's the way we learn. Everybody knows a little bit more than the other people do. We should all visit and tap on each other's knowledge. That's why so much of the, you'll see in the Liberty Series, I tap on other people's knowledge because it's correct and it's important. And you need to know where all these things are coming from all the people's view that I could find. That's a part of the purpose here, is to let you know that I'm not a lone wolf. I'm just compiling the series. Now, there are 2,200 pages in the whole set. And someone would say, wow, how can I do that? Well, every volume has an index. And in every volume, I attempted to take every important word and take it through on every page so that you could find a word that you're interested in and go to the index, look at that word, find the page it's on, and read that. Now, you won't learn everything that way, but at least it won't be so daunting. Every book has that same setup. And I can't use a computer to do it, guys. I have to do it by hand. It takes hours and hours and hours. But you have to do it by hand because computers, they don't know the difference between a bush that grows in the concrete or the field, or the bush that was junior or the bush that was senior, or when it says the president, which president it was. They don't know that. Computer can't do that.
Right.
I do it by hand.
Which you've done it. I've used the index. When I read books like this, I mark them. Of course, I think you can see the tab here. When I mark them, I mean, I tab them. I take notes, and relied on the index, and I'm amazed at the accuracy and the all inclusiveness of that index. So, great job on that. One thing that you talked about in here that I see being brought up more and more, but in a little different way, is this North American Union and other unions or other organizations. North American Union as an example. I've got a good friend who is involved in at the periphery of the intelligence world, and sent me an article. He said, pay really close attention to this. And it's from, Global News. Canada joins new alliance to save the world order, and the U.S. is not included. But it kind of reminds me of the, not just the New World Order, but the North American Union, which you address in here as well. So I'm telling you, any thoughts?
Do you remember the book 1984?
Yes.
But my buddy Orwell?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. He showed us a world divided into three groups. Yep. And aren't we heading that direction right now? Divided into three. He had the Euro and the Asian and the American, if I remember right. But he had three groups. And they warred against each other or didn't. And he had people in there changing history. That was the job of the hero we were reading. Changes the history to agree with what the people of that day want the history to do. Can't we look at our own history and see that? Can't we look at the world being divided into different sections like the Americas, the Europeans, the Asians, the Africans? Can't we see that happening? I mean, those things, he predicted them. He said it would happen in 84. Well, it's not quite right. He missed it by a few years, but he's got the right idea. Exactly.
Yeah, precisely. And it's amazing to watch history unfold. Did you ever think that what we're seeing right now would happen in your lifetime? I don't know if I ever asked you that. And don't take that as like a softball question, because I think what we're seeing happening right now is really significant. I thought it would happen, but not necessarily in my lifetime.
Well, you know, the guys who study governments say that a democracy lasts about 200 years.
200 years, yep.
Democracies last about 200 years, up to the point where the people know that they can get money out of the government purse. And that's when it begins to fall apart. The only reason we've been able to go beyond the 200 years is because we've figured out a banking system to create fiat currency, just create money out of nothing constantly and hide it. People think it's real. But you see, we're right on the edge of that. Well, we're beyond that 200-year point, but I always wondered if it would happen because of that 200-year date. I did not expect it to happen in 2 months. I did not expect something to be this forceful, this quick. But it's happening right now around us.
Oh, man. Since last week we were together, if there was... And I don't know even if this is the right question. And if not, feel free to change the topic into something else here in the remaining moments or remaining 10 minutes we've got. Over the last week, is there any one thing since our last time together that you would say, you know what? This is a real, maybe not a game changer, but this is really important to pay attention to, or this is a game changer, or this is something that, gives me hope, or is there any one or series of things that you've been looking at and saying, better pay attention to this?
Are you looking at giving hope, or are you looking at more difficulties?
There's
two different issues there.
Either one.
Okay. Both. Emails that I've been receiving give me hope that there's a possibility that some people are going to do something about this. That's happened. That almost happens on a daily basis now because I'm receiving things. People are asking questions. I try to respond to everything. Some of them I'm going to have to miss because there's so many coming in. Next, things that are disheartening, the chickens, the potatoes in Idaho. These things are being destroyed because either the restaurants aren't open to buy them, and that's because people aren't going to work, or because they're just paying attention to the hoax, or the chickens there, that's a big downer. That's huge. That kind of a business go under, it can't get set back up again easily. It's hard to put these businesses together. It's horribly hard. And have it die and fail? How will we get it started again? Where will they get all the things coming together at one time to be able to produce it? They have to have all the chicken farmers that are producing, or all the chicken locations. Maybe they are. If they are the chicken location, they got to have food coming in. They've got to have people to clean. They got all kinds of stuff. It's a massive, massive job. And if it stops, it is very, very hard to start again. Very hard. That's very disheartening that huge businesses, huge industries are closing because they cannot exist in the current economic environment. And if this thing goes on very much longer, if we have those people that are the 2.9 million lose their homes, they're going to be homeless. What's going to happen now? Oh, this is very disheartening. And the government's tickled to death because this is what they want. I should say the New World government is tickled to death because this is exactly what they want. They're tickled to death. Oh, the Gates family and their foundations and the Rockefellers and their group and the Harrimans and the Lazards and the, oh, well, I can go on and on. They're all listed on the first page of volume one. These people are tickled to death because it's finally happening. They've been working on it and trying it for years, and it's finally coming together. Let me see if I can remember. Page 405 of Autobiography of Rockefeller. He said, if I'm accused of being a part of a conspiracy to bring about the New World Order, I'm guilty and I'm proud of it. And there you have it, folks. And they've been trying to do this for years and years and years. Well, it's working. It's happening because we are allowing them to do it to us. Not because they're doing it, but because they're scaring us and we're willing to be scared, and now we're running home to hide. I hesitate to think, again, back to the Revolutionary War.
Yep.
If all those people had run home to hide from the danger, we would not have a country. If we run home to hide from the danger, we will not have a country. Just look at 1776, 7, 8, 9, 10, 80, 81. If they'd gone home to hide, we would not have a country. If we don't do something now, as people, even though it might be scary, we will not have a country.
I'm beginning
that's
to. You're exactly right, and I'm beginning to think that we are seeing a groundswell right now of people starting to get to the point where they're saying, "Hey, I can't live like this. I cannot not work." And who in the world, who determines who is essential and who isn't? You know,
you're right. They say you can't buy anything that's not essential. Well, I went and bought some tape for my book so I could mail them out. They don't think that's essential, but I do.
Yeah.
I've got people who are paying me money. They got to have their books. I got to go have tape. So I figured out how to get it without getting in a big long line and have 9 rolls coming, and that'll do a lot of boxes. And I know how to do it again in the future. I had to figure out a way. That's essential to me. I don't care if it's essential or not to Mayor George. I don't care. I care that it's essential to me and my customers.
Right.
And I didn't stop working. I haven't stopped working at all. In fact, I'm inundated. I'm tickled to death.
You know, and thank you for saying that. You didn't stop working. Of course, an argument could be made while you're self-employed or you're, you know, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter. No one has the right, no one in this country, saving the Constitution, a Constitution, if you can keep it, the Liberty Series, spells it out. No one's got the right in government, out of government, to tell you that you cannot, or you have to stop, you have to close your business. Or you can't operate your business because of a pandemic or because of war or because of whatever. I mean, it's just,
well, they have the power to do it, but not the right.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Very well stated. Dr. Proctor, I tell you what, I appreciate your working with me on this abbreviated schedule today, but I want to thank you because we did cover a lot of ground here. And as we progress, you've got so much, the Liberty Series. We really have to get into that. And, you know, I wonder next week, you know, what it's going to look like next week versus this week. And, you know, what changes. Maybe we'll be talking a whole different discussion. What do you think? Maybe by next week people will be saying, "Hey, I'm done. I'm going back to work."
I sure hope so, Doug. I sure hope so. They've got to do that. That'd be the best thing that could happen. I'm done. I understand now, and I'm done. Yeah. I understand now is a big part of that sentence. I understand now what's going on, and I'm done.
And you're right. That's a big part of that sentence. I understand. And how you can better understand, folks, is to pick up Saving the Constitution. Constitution, if you can keep it, for extra credit, but for the real understanding, Liberty, Will It Survive, the series. Folks, it is a winner, a tremendous winner. What a gifted writer and a man of knowledge. I gotta tell you, I love your writings. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do, and I thank you for doing what you do. And I thank you for your gift of time.
I was going to say, I appreciate you're doing what you're doing so that I can do what I'm doing. That's a team here.
It's a team.
That's how it works.
That's right. And
that's how it works.
And that's right. And you know what? They can't stop all of us. They can't arrest all of us. They can't stop all of us if we keep speaking the truth. And you do that. And thank you. I appreciate you.
Take care.
All right. Folks, that'll do it. Out of time. I want to thank you so very much for tuning in. What a great guest, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. It'll be in the links in the program description box, or in the program description box. The links will be there. Again, I want to say thank you so very much. May God bless you. Have a great night.